A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 12 May 2022, Thursday. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 250 of the hard copy, okay? Just relax body and mind. Then we will commence our awareness-based meditation. So we are off the line so that you can have a half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax and maintain awareness. Then stabilize the awareness nature within. We are here to train our mind to develop this inner awareness. Always remember the four support: relax, maintain awareness. The third support is stabilize that awareness nature, means maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Then the fourth support is when you have trained yourself, when you are able to be in the state of awareness, then you silence everything and stay at the heart area. The fourth support is trust. Trust your nature to move around the heart area to detect the gateway to your nature. Okay, so with that, you can proceed with the half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Maitreya Bodhisattva continued saying, I also see arahants and bodhisattvas who have left desire. To leave desire means to separate oneself from craving or lust. If you separate from lust, you can cultivate the way. Those who cultivate the way should not have thought of selfishness or greed. They should not be greedy for wealth. They should not be greedy for sex. They should not be greedy for material possession. Once rid of all thoughts of greed, one may be said to have left desire. So this is the commentary part. Then we go to the next part of the sutta. Who dwell in constant solitude, it means they like to live in the world where few people go, stay alone. Then the part on deeply cultivating Dhyan Samadhi means all day they sit in Dhyan Samadhi. If you wish to develop your wisdom, it is essential that you cultivate Samadhi. Without Samadhi, you will have no wisdom. So this passage of verse deals with Dhyan Samadhi. You should deeply cultivate Dhyan Samadhi. This is not to say that you cultivate it today and fail to cultivate it tomorrow. You cannot cultivate for one day and rest on the day or on the next, or rest for a day and then cultivate for half a day, or cultivate one day and rest for 10 days. You should cultivate every day without resting, not the other way around. If you rest every day and do not cultivate, you will not attain Dhyan Samadhi. If you wish to obtain deep Dhyan Samadhi, truly to take the joy of Dhyan as your food and come to know the true flavor of Dhyan, then you must work hard at your cultivation every single day. Okay, regarding this part of the sharing on Dhyan Samadhi, I don't think you can develop much understanding from what is being shared by Xuan Huo's commentary. You see, basically, initially you are under training. It is good to dwell in constant solitude. But it doesn't mean that you have to be in solitude all the time. In constant solitude means the mind must abide within. And during cultivation, if you are really very diligent have faith, sincerity, and you go all out to cultivate, then this solitude is a very natural consequence of what will happen. The mind become like abide within, quiet, doesn't chatter, doesn't verbalize, doesn't do all the strange, heedless activity that normal people engage in, like backbiting, gossiping, the mind wandering off, thinking a lot, daydreaming, heedlessly lost in thought, creating a lot of frivolous speeches, and engaging in emotion and violence, and easily having fear, worry, anxiety. So if your mind is so scattered and so heedlessly lost in thought, so like disarray, then you are not being mindful, you are not heedful, which means you are not in a state of Dhyan Samadhi. So basically, what is Dhyan Samadhi? Dhyan Samadhi means you are in a state of Samadhi, which is different from the concentration type of Samadhi, or what they call deep absorption, Apana Samadhi. So this Dhyan Samadhi is the continuous mindfulness leading to heedfulness. The mind is in a state of collectedness and unwavering. So when it's constantly aware, fully aware, ever mindful, then it can be in this state of Dhyan Samadhi. Means the mind is in constant mindfulness throughout the day. The daily mindfulness is that you are just aware, mindful, relaxed. Then the mind is always either in a state of specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. So when you are able to develop that, then you can be in that state. That's why Xuanhua said, you have to continuously cultivate during that time, because unless you do it, your mind cannot stabilize. The daily mindfulness cannot stabilize. Then it cannot become a part of your nature. So you cannot say cultivate for one day, then rest one day or the next day or even half a day. And that tempo or that training has to be maintained. Initially, I remember it's a full-time job. You have to go all out. It's just like playing a game, training yourself. It can be basketball or badminton or football or even table tennis or any of these games. You have to train until you are very, very stable. Means you are very skillful. You have developed the skill of that game that you are going to play. Means like badminton, all your stroke has become so graceful. It's like spontaneously you can exercise them. You don't have to remember how to do it. You have trained. And that training has developed the mindfulness that is like continuous, the continuity that give rise to the gracefulness. Yeah. And it's like a part of you. Every action, every movement, every activity is in that state of mindfulness, awareness. Yeah. Not until you develop it, until that stability, then it can become a part of you. Then after that, even you hang up the racket, let's say for a month or two, or even 3 months or a year, no problem, the skill is already there. The only thing is when you want to go back to the game, maybe you have to like do some simple exercise to get back the skill or the stability of the stroke. Then you have to build up your stamina and all those things. But the basic strokes, they are there. You cannot forget one. That is the level of Dhyan Samadhi or training that you have to do. That's why what I have shared with you all is very useful. You must have a daily religious routine. You know it's a routine. You know, every day you do more or less, but it need not be rigid. As long as every day, throughout the day, whatever you do, you're aware, you're mindful. Then spiritual religious routine means you incorporate spirituality and religious training into that routine, which means you can, like every day, pay your respect to Triple Gem, then chant your salutation, do your chanting, renew your precept, take refuge, then at the same time recite the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, then radiate metta, develop some training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be peaceful, calm, then stabilize your awareness. Then when you come out of your spiritual activity or religious routine, your daily life, you maintain mindfulness, awareness throughout the day. Everything you do, aware, mindful. When you pay respect, also say body and mind as one. Then when you walk, stand, lie down, or sit, you maintain awareness throughout. Then all the connecting activity you do, like when you walk, you want to move your hand to open the door or what, aware. Then when you want to drive, where you take your car, your house key, then mindfully do all those activities. Even when you want to put the key into the lock and turn it and open it, do not go and think and do all this activity mindlessly. There is no mindfulness at all. You are actually doing a lot of thinking and heedless activity, and you are not in the moment. Which means when you are walking, you're aware. But most people who are walking, they think, they try to remember, what am I going to do? Go to the office, want to see who else. Because you are thinking other things. Whereas your physical activity is either standing or walking or lying down or sitting, or you are doing the activity like opening the door, then closing it. Even you go to the washroom, same. Even you go to the kitchen, same. Your daily activity, you maintain mindfulness. This is to anchor your mind, the sati, to your physical activity. That's why we call it kaya upasana. Means mindfulness of kaya, mindfulness of all your action and movement in the present moment. That is the first foundation of mindfulness that you have to train. So if you do this until your daily mindfulness become very stable, that is the beginning of meditation. Not until you have the stability of mindfulness to be aware throughout the day, your practice has not yet taken off. Your daily mindfulness must be very stable before you can even keep your precept, before you can even observe your mind state, your mental intention. Then you have to develop the training of the mind to study the teaching, the basic teaching, what constitutes evil. The three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion are evil. Then expand on them. What is greed? Greed is not just greediness. Greed has a very wide spectrum. Loba in Pali. So when the evil roots of loba is defined, it has very wide implication. Because this word loba, or they call the evil roots of greed, is not just to be greediness. all of your craving, desire, your lust, your covetousness, they are covered under this evil root. Your wanting, your like, your pleasant experience when you attach and cling and hold and grasp, when you deludedly cling on to things, hold on to things, all these are your greed. That's why covetousness is also part of greed. And when you try to control people, control things, that is also greed. Then when you are selfish in your approach, self-benefit, self-intent behind, means you are not sincere, you are not truthful, you try to take advantage and honesty. These are all various types of greed. It is part of the evil of loba. So when you understand all this, when you cultivate with mindfulness, you can see your subtle mental intention behind. Then you realize throughout the day before you know the Dhamma, living being is full of selfishness and greed, craving, desire, attachment. Almost everything in life, when they see them, perceive them through their senses, they develop craving, desire. And these evil roots of greed keep on manifesting because of the ego, sakkaya ditti, the personality, the egoic mind. So from there, it manifests. You think you exist. So what you do? You want to own things. You want to have things. You want to possess things. You want to control things. So all these are the evil roots of greed. Then when things don't go your way, you become angry, unhappy, violent, emotional. So envy, jealousy, hatred, these are all part of greed. The evil root of hatred and the dislike, the resentment, the unhappy mind. These are negative craving. Then when you have doubt and you don't understand, you develop fear, you develop worry, anxiety. When you project your thought, all this negativity of mind state arise. This is delusion. When you are deluded, you will lack faith, you will lack understanding. Then you project your thought and develop all the fear, the insecurity, the worry, the anxiety, and all this are negativity of mind state. It cannot help you solve your problem. It cannot help you in your life. It makes you deluded. And from delusion, you become heedless. And through heedlessness, you develop suffering. It torments you. It afflicts you. And this is what the first noble truth realities are. When you confront the reality without wisdom, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they constantly manifest. And when it manifests, you have the mental hindrance that make you heedless. And your mind is not collected, not stable. So, samadhi is a state of mind that is trained. When you don't have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then the mental hindrance is gone. Instead, you develop the spiritual faculties, saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya to counter the mental hindrance. Then your mind develops sati that accumulate and stabilize into samadhi. When sati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. But this state of sati must not be too deep. It must not be so deep until it becomes absorption, apana samadhi. It must be at the state of maximum upajara samadhi, at the threshold before it enters apana, so that your mind is a free mind in a state of dhyan samadhi. So that is the meaning. Hopefully with this sharing and explanation, you can develop the understanding. Okay, now we move on. we continue with the sharing. Huh? So hopefully by now you understand what samadhi is, the true samadhi. When the time comes to sit in samadhi, which is form of meditation, you must go ahead and do so, regardless of how busy you are. That's why sometimes the body will tell you, or your nature will let you understand that it's time to meditate. Then I will know, I will go lie down and I will silent and meditate. And you will know when to do all those things. Even yesterday, the sharing, my sister Pochen, she also said she didn't know what to do when that thing happened. Press against her, she just silent, enter samadhi, because she has trained, she has developed it. So that gives her the ability to do all those things. So when the time comes to sit in Dhyan Samadhi, you must go ahead and do so regardless of how busy you are. This is very good advice. You must find time in the midst of all your mind-right activity to sit in Dhyan. This throughout the day, you are in the state of equanimity, in the state of Dhyan Samadhi. Means your mind is collected, ever mindful, constantly meditative. So a mind that is collected and unwavering and ever mindful is a mind that has samadhi. So Shenhua even add in this word, without missing a single day, means every day you do until it becomes part of you, until it stabilizes. Then you can obtain the rhyme of skill. Here means the rhyme of skill in Dhyan Samadhi means it has become a part of you. Means no need to train really, beyond training really. Whether whatever you do in life, that thing is with you already. So that is the stability you need to establish. It's like any game. You train until even you stop playing it, the skill is already there, the understanding is already there. Then when you want to go back into it very fast, you will be able to develop it. That's why when they want to go into the samadhi state in the form of meditation, they just relax, maintain awareness, pump, they go in early. The mind immediately quiet and still. That tranquility, the stillness, straight away is there. Initially, maybe they need a few minutes, 2-3 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes. Or if they are very tired, they have a lot of things to do, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. But after that, they settle down very fast. But if they maintain the daily mindfulness throughout, then most of the time they are aware, then they can be in that state almost immediately. Within less than 1 or 2 minutes, they are already in that state. Then sometimes the stability is so stable, throughout the day they are in that state. The moment they lie down, they are in that state. The moment they come out, they are in that state. They walk, they sit, whatever they do, even when they rest, they are in that state of Dhyan Samadhi. So that is the stability. We move on to the next section. Then the sutta says, and attaining the 5 spiritual penetration. So this one, I think, is slightly different from the one that cultivator of the way develops and go through, is the byproduct. This one normally can be attained by even non-enlightened beings. But sometimes enlightened beings who go through jhana concentration, then they come out and develop the daily mindfulness and stability of Dhyan Samadhi. They can also penetrate, awaken, then by virtue of what they did in the past, that they go through jhana, they can also have the 5 spiritual faculty, or they call it the psychic ability. But the cultivator of the way one, the spiritual ability, which is a byproduct of their training of mindfulness and Dhyan Samadhi, is different. That one, they manifest in a different way, and the cultivator will understand it. It let you see, it let you understand, and you can visualize all this. And sometimes, like, how come it's so strange? You can like penetrate and see things that normal people cannot see, but it has nothing to do with psychic. It's the mind that has transformed. The last Tuesday sharing, I shared with you all and also explained what Sister Po Ching has gone through. They said like the high-rise building, 30 whole story high, like suddenly in that state of Dhyan Samadhi, he can see and very clear. But only those moments after that come out cannot come out. Anyway, we will go through this five spiritual penetration. Shenhua in the early day, he liked to talk about this. In fact, in one of his vows earlier, he vowed to have the spiritual penetration. But later on, he added in the sixth one, which is the enlightenment spiritual penetration. So here, these five spiritual penetration or psychic ability, what are they? First one is the penetration of the heavenly eye, then penetration of the heavenly ear, then the penetration of other thoughts. Okay, the third one. Then the penetration of knowledge of past life, the fourth one. Oh, then the last one is the penetration of the complete spirit. Yes, correct. They have not obtained the penetration of the extinction or outflow. This one is the enlightenment part. Extinction or outflow means the full enlightenment. Yes, he has gone beyond arahantship. Arahantship still got outflow. Outflow of thought process, but the delusion is rooted out. So the sixth spiritual penetration is the stability of enlightenment, is the penetration or the extinction of outflow, no more outflow, even the outflow of thought, no more. Because this penetration is only attained at the level of equal enlightenment and wonderful enlightenment, which is the bodhisattva stage. Because these are bodhisattva who had just brought forth the resolve to cultivate. They obtain only five of the six spiritual penetration, means before they develop the six penetration of extinction of outflow. Where do the five spiritual penetration come from? They come from the cultivation of, according to Shenhua, Dhyan Samadhi. Where his Dhyan Samadhi is the Ajana. From the recitation of the sutta and from holding the mantra. You can sit in Dhyan Samadhi every day with single-minded concentration. See, he used the word concentration. You can obtain them. You can obtain them from reciting sutta. For example, the great master Qi Zi recited the Dhamma Lotus Sutta all day long until he became enlightened. Then he came to the chapter on the events of Medicine King Bodhisattva, that he said, this is true vigor, this is true Dhamma offering. As he recited the word, he entered the Dhamma Flower Samadhi and obtained a state, a most lofty state. He saw the Dhamma Assembly at Vaishyapa still in progress. It had not disappeared. He saw the Sakyamuni Buddha was still they're speaking the Dhamma. So one can also become enlightened by reciting the sutta. But you must recite with a sincere heart. You cannot recite on the one hand and strike up false thinking on the other. Don't recite on the one hand and climb on condition on the other, thinking so-and-so has a lot of money. I have got to think of a way to get some money out of him for my own use. You can't open enlightenment reciting sutta that way because you are not reciting sutta. You are thinking of money. You must recite mantra and sutra single-mindedly in order to obtain enlightenment. So this one, the Mahayana, especially the Pure Land teaching, they believe in chanting, reciting the sutta. Again, our bodhisattva seen in the peace of Dhyan, the palms join. So the commentary says, they are sitting in Dhyan Samadhi with their hands placed together, who with 1,000, 10,000 lines, They make a verse after verse to sing praise of the Dhamma King. They praise the Buddha of the Ten Directions. They do not simply praise Sakyamuni, but all the Buddha of the Ten Directions. Because they have been revealed in the light of Shakyamuni Buddha's white hair mark. But praising the Buddha of the Ten Directions is just to praise Shakyamuni Buddha. Why? Because Shakyamuni Buddha himself is one of the Buddha of the Ten Directions. Okay, let me move on to the sutta part. Again, a bodhisattva seed of profound wisdom. This time is profound wisdom means we have finished samadhi. So this is the last perfection of the six perfection. Or the six paramita. And solid will, able to question the Buddhas and accept and hold all they have heard. Further seen a Buddha's disciple with wisdom and samadhi perfect, who with limitless analogy preach Dhamma in the multitude to the multitude. Joyfully they preach the Dhamma, transforming all the bodhisattva, defeating thus the truth of Maras and beating on the Dhamma drum. So now we come to the sixth perfection, prajna or wisdom. Commentary. Maitreya Bodhisattva said to Manjusri Bodhisattva, again our bodhisattva seen, I also see bodhisattva of profound wisdom and solid will. This the willpower is very strong. Their wisdom is extremely profound and their determination of willpower is extremely firm and still solid or stable. Able to question the Buddha and accept and hold all they have heard. They are well able to question the Buddha concerning their doubt. They ask about the Dhamma and having received the answer, they can put what they have heard into actual practice in accordance with the Dhamma. That is, they accept, uphold, and cultivate in accordance with Dhamma. Further seen a Buddha's disciple, the commentaries, also seen a son of the Dhamma King, means the Buddha's disciple, with wisdom and samadhi perfect. Their samadhi power and their wisdom power are perfect. Who with limitless analogies they use and uncountable numbers of parables, analogies, and doctrines in order to preach the Dhamma to the multitude. They expound the Buddha Dhamma for the sake of living beings. Then the next part of the sutta is joyfully they preach the Dhamma. The more they speak, the more they like to speak. This is known as the unobstructed eloquence. And this is very true. This one, when you have this ability to preach or share the Dhamma understanding, you become very different. When there is condition, you will speak. And the more you speak, the more you will like to speak, because the Dhamma just flows straight from the heart. That's why it's called, it's known as the unobstructed eloquence. When it flows from the heart, the nature, actually no need effort. That's why a lot of Kayamita, they have witnessed this, especially at retreat or at certain sharing. When I was sharing the deep topic, the deep meaning of some very special Dhamma, that nature just opened up. And it seems during that time, the energy, the vibration is very different. If you have the faith, the sadha, the virya, and you just silent, you will receive, you will absorb the vibration. Then it will open up your nature and help you develop understanding. Then, even myself, after that, I can feel, and people, Kayamita also can see, it's like, I can heal myself. I recuperate. I become like healthier physically. Because sometimes you may see I already about to have a cold or sneezing or the running no start already, because sometimes not enough rest, the physical strength no more, not enough. Then this thing will stop. But then, as I speak, that nature open up, then I like heal during that time. I become like normal again. And after that, the energy is very strong. But this is very true, what is written here. So if you are a cultivator of the way, you can go through it, you can try it, then you will understand. Okay, now I go back to that sharing. Joyfully they preach the Dhamma, the more they speak, I go through it one more time, the more they like to speak, this is true, this is unobstructed eloquence. The Dhamma which they speak is extremely profound, see, subtle and wonderful, and this is very true. That's why when that time, when it happened, you all will know, those who are attentive, those who are sincere, having the faith and really attentive, you will be able to like feel it. Then during that time, it's like transforming all the cultivator all the way. Here is because Sakyamuni Buddha speak, so transforming all the bodhisattva. They teach and convert all the bodhisattvas, defeating thus the troops of Mara. They smash through the demon hosts and beating on the Dhamma drum. So this is a very nice way of putting it. They loudly beat the great drum of law, means the Dhamma. The Dhamma preaching sound, like the beating of the Dhamma drum. So this part is very useful. Okay, we will go on a bit more, the sutta. Also seen to our bodhisattvas in silence and tranquility, though worshipped by gods and dragons, and they do find a cause for joy. These gods and dragons are often quoted in the sutta, like we chant the Deva, Deva Vasa, sorry, that one, Devas and Nagas of mighty power. You remember when we share marriage with the Devas, that part, what, how is the chanting like? I cannot remember suddenly. But I remember that part, Devas and Nagas of mighty power. Deva, Naga, Mahindika, yeah, right, yeah, that part. Devanaga Mahindika Nyang Tang Anumo Titwa Chirang Rakan to Lokasasana, yeah. Or Devo Vasatukalina, yeah. So all those, they are beautiful. This part is on the sharing of merits. Oh, sorry, Akasata Chibumata, then Devanaga Mahindika. The sharing of merits is the Devas. So devas and nagas of mighty power, may they share and rejoice in this wholesomeness. So this one, worshipped by gods and dragons. Gods are devas and dragons are naga. Deva naga mahinika. Then they do not find it cause for joy. Also seen bodhisattvas dwelling in forests, emitting light, relieving those suffering in the hell and leading them to the Buddha way. So this one is especially those who cultivate the earth-style bodhisattva way. They actually do a lot of these things, relieving those suffering in the hell and leading them onto the Buddha way. Okay, then we will move on to the next part, which is miscellaneous question concerning the sixth perfection, Dayan Samadhi commentary. Seen to a bodhisattva in silence and tranquility. The commentary says they are silent, they do not speak, they sit in full lotus meditating. As they meditate, because they have skill in Dayan Samadhi, various beings come to worship them. Is the devas and nagas. Though worshipped by gods and dragons, they do not find it cause for joy. Yeah, these are normal things. Mm, but they can rejoice too. They don't think that it's of any consequence. Why not? When they have ability, profound skill in Dhyan Samadhi, their thought do not stir. In cultivation, it is most important to be without thought. See, the word, wunian, without thought. Do not have thought. Do not have one thought. Do not have false thought. Heedless thinking. If you can be without false thought, just that is non-production, this cessation of outflow. If you have no false thought, just that is extinction. If you have no false thought, just that is no impurity. If you have no false thought, just that is no increasing, no ceasing. So all these are described in the Heart Sutta. No addition, no subtraction, everything. That's in the end condition. All this is not there. You have no false thought, just that is no decreasing. You have no false thought, just that there will be no right. There's no duality and all those things. You have no good, no evil. No false thought, there will be no wrong. If you have no thoughts, there will be no right and wrong, good and evil. Why? Because you have no thought at all. There is purity. The purity of the self nature, the wonderful nature, the true suchness nature. But here, Shenhua didn't explain why. In fact, that nature is the unconditioned. The unconditioned has no words, no concept, no thought process. That's why there is no duality. Where you need work, you need thought process to arise the duality. So when the unconditioned manifests, that wonderful nature, the self nature, the true nature, we call it the true suchness. There is no none of all these things. That's how the Heart Sutta actually able to develop the understanding, and Guan Yin Bodhisattva put it into sutta form. However, being without thought isn't just a matter of saying. So this is very important. You don't just go and say, hey, I have achieved. I got no thought. I don't have any thought. If you hold on to that not having of thought, that means you still have thought. You can have no thought, just that is subducing your mind. You can be without thought, you have defeated the truth of Mara. The absence of thought is the most wonderful. So this part, I think, a lot of people cannot understand. Even those in concentration, one-pointedness, when they are in that state of concentration, jhana, energy build, especially the fourth jhana, they may think that they have no thought. But all the thoughts are killed into one point, held by energy field to one point. That's why it's a conditioned state, although it doesn't manifest into a thought. But then, who say I have no thought? Because the moment he become conscious of that, that is a thought. So no thought is a thought, because it's not a free mind. But the free mind that has no thought is totally different. That one really no thought. The mind just returns to its original state of tranquility and stillness. It's the true mind before the stirring, the arising of thought, before the creation, the starting of the aggregates of mind, developing into the mundane thinking. That one returns. That's why I say relax, maintain awareness, and let the mundane mind slow down and cease. And when it ceases, you will realize your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature. And that is what meditation is all about. That is the meditative mind. Then stabilize that to realize your self nature, your awareness nature, which is your true nature. And all this, they will become very beautiful. and clear to the cultivator of the way. So the true nature is actually true suchness. Some call it the self nature, the original nature. These are all the various names given. There is a nature, it's the unconditioned. Okay, so we go back to the sutta part, the sharing. Okay, so the absence of thought is most wonderful. You can develop that through a free mind, means you have some form of good progress already. Yes, you really have mastered the understanding of what samadhi is, what that silence is, what that nature is. Why do they take no delight when the gods and dragons worship them? Because they have no thought. It is also because they have patience. They have patience with production. You have no thought, and when people make offering to you and revert you, you will not become arrogant and think, I am really an accomplished cultivator. So this one, I have to explain it a bit. Here, this one is not really the way Sze Chuanhua put it. Because as a cultivator, when you have developed the understanding and the wisdom, you become different. Then it's not that you have no thought, that when people make offering to you and revert you, you will not become arrogant and think. No. In fact, what happens is your mind has already developed the wisdom, the spiritual penetration, and your mundane mind has collapsed. But there is a very, very fine supramundane mind, the true mind, without the images on, and that one is still there. So that one is no longer deluded. It will not go and think like what Chuanhua mentioned. When people make offering to them, they may think, I'm really an accomplished cultivator. They already penetrated no mark of a self-cultivating, no mark. So all this, they have developed the understanding. So they won't say like, look at all these people who are making offering to me, no more. It's out of love and compassion for them to allow them to have the causes and conditions to develop the merits and the wholesomeness. And you may rejoice, that's all. Rejoice in their wholesomeness. You have no thought that if people rebuff you, beat you, defame you, and try to resume, you will be able to endure it. So all this is referring to the description part. But the actual cultivation is different. When you have developed the wisdom of no mark, all this has no more meaning. You no need to like want to endure or what, because everything is so clear to you. Then it becomes like suchness, ta-ta-ta. That's the way things are. This is no thought. No thought is something which everyone who studies the Buddha Dhamma should learn. If you are without thought, then you will have no affliction, which is true. With no affliction, there is bogi. Bogi is just a opposite of affliction. Affliction is just bogi, because they are like a twin. Still, you can use it, it is bogi. You cannot use it, it's affliction. That's why when you understand, it is wisdom. When you don't understand, it becomes affliction or suffering. So, like I always say, the user of thought, the user that is behind all the living is very important. That so-called being that has the wisdom will not have affliction. Without wisdom, affliction will arise. You will get yourself entangled. I think I stop here. Then we will now open up for Dhamma sharing and also meditation reporting.
Recently, I think Sister Spojing sharing was very interesting. She managed to articulate the experience, and it reminded me of, I think there was a phase where I started seeing a lot of gratitude in the world around me, And then I couldn't articulate at that time that how that understanding unfolded in me. But so I could only share that the many different ways I could be thankful for it. But that doesn't describe the exact feeling. So, but when Sister Po Ching actually shared how her nature manifests and just show it to her like a story, and then it reminded me at that time the feeling of gratitude actually unfolded like a story in front of me. It's like the world was telling me that story. That realization is very different from how I could express it. So that really helped me put it into words also. Yeah. Well, I think going down to descriptions, I think no point. Actually, however I try to describe, also very hard. The only is whenever I try to put in words, it's like when I think there are a few occasions I remember struggling. I tried to ask people to look at the things in front of them, like the cup, the bowl when you're eating. Where did they come from? There's so much history. The cavemen, yes, men don't use cups. They collect water with their two hands. Where did cups come from? Someone invented, and then throughout the years, you start to have designs. It's made of sand, and then now even though you see 10 IKEA cups all look the same from IKEA, but they are all made of different variety of materials. Every grain of sand can be different. So how can we expect every cup to have the same lifespan, same expiry date, and so on? All these that I tried to explain was actually not the exact way how my nature allowed me to understand it, but this was the only way I could try to explain that. And then when I look at the food, then I said, you see, chicken rice look like very simple. I can make 10 dishes and serve to 10 different people, but actually every one of those plates of chicken, right, every time it's a different chicken that died. So I could only try to make that impact when I talk to people, but that is not how I think it's. It was very different when the realization came. The story that unfolded in front of me was like how Po Ching was describing it. So that really impacted me when I heard the sharing. Okay, that's all from me.
About this gratitude, actually, Sister Sui makes me recall one incident last week, because Ayama celebrated the Buddha's birthday last week.
Oh, okay.
For Tanren. So I attended something like an online they bathe the baby Buddha, some of the monks, they bathe the baby Buddha, and then they sing these verses that may this water cleanse the world from all defilements, and may all beings be well, happy, and connected to their Buddha nature. So as they sing, my tears just flow. No, I think this one is a rejoicing in the birth of the Buddha, and he brings the Dharma to the world that we can have today. That's a way it's not from the thought, it just manifests. When you are silent and you are in that situation,
the condition unfolds. You feel that way, that gratitude or something. But that one is more of the understanding at that time. So this will evolve. But the one that Sui mentioned one is different. That one is because after a long period of cultivation and contemplation, then suddenly the nature manifests and unfolds a lot of those things. Then she starts to develop gratitude towards all things, not only specific things. Then she starts to understand why nature is such, because the world is not what you think. The world is a manifestation of the Maya form a mind. The mind might form a mind has its own nature. Each and every one is different. Then when it manifests, it follows certain nature's law. Then these nature's law, they are so beautiful. That's why you need to meditate. You need to contemplate. Then you need to actually allow the nature to understand. Then when the nature develops the understanding, the awakening, then this sense of gratitude or understanding, which is not knowledge at that particular point or that particular time, is a universal understanding that manifests. Then you have gratitude towards all things. Although that time she don't have the stability or understanding to explain it, but when she heard what went through in Pochen sharing, she starts to recollect and recall how that thing, the incident triggered. So this is one of the possible ways of transformation that deepens one's understanding, then it will change the way she lives her life. A lot of things she do become different already. She is no longer like before already. So some things that she can express and do will be very different from normal people already. And people who don't understand will find it very odd. So that is what will happen when you cultivate. In the early day, also same. A lot of things that I used to do in the past when I was young. Then later on, when I developed the understanding of the Dhamma, I realized I cannot do anymore. I stopped. Not to say I don't want to do, or I believe that if by stopping is good, and maybe it reflects that I'm more spiritual. No such thought. Like, I stopped playing mahjong. I stopped doing things that is like in the past. I don't really want to be bothered or tied up with things. But later on when I transform, I see the danger of certain things, I will pick it up and throw it away. Like how the screw and the nail went into the tire. Then when I saw them, everywhere I go on the road, if I see them, I will clear them. Then these broken glasses or what, if I can, I will clear them so that it will not be dangerous for people. And a lot of other things, it will manifest and you will understand. There a lot of things you cannot do. You cannot like pollute the environment, do this, do that, and like couldn't be bothered. And the way you understand, your sensitivity develop. The sensitivity of mind, which is from your understanding, that love, that compassion is different. It's not somebody who wants to do because they believe I am now spiritual, I am a cultivator. That one want to let people see on externally, they try to behave like they are spiritual, they are like religious. No, it has nothing to do with that. In fact, when you develop the correct cultivation, you become very different, you become very humble. A lot of humility, and you don't want to show off. And a lot of things people cannot see in you unless he is a cultivator also. And they look at you like you are an ordinary human being. But for those cultivators who know, they can sense you. The way you carry yourself, the way you communicate, you share your understanding. People can see those who are with the understanding and the cultivation. But those who don't have, they look at you like, oh, you are just maybe a very simple person, or you don't know anything, like you are nothing special, because they can't see, they cannot understand. But for those cultivators, they can sense you, they can feel you. The way you manifest, the way you behave, the way you talk, the way you share, they can sense you. So there are many level of realization that can come from and allow the practitioner to develop. What you have gone through, Paramasri, is also not bad, because that one will also arise. There is within that moment, with your understanding at that time, then that you call it your thought actually at that time, manifest that gratitude and other things. So initially, it is often from there it starts. But later on, as you cultivate, as your daily mindfulness develop, as your contemplative wisdom develop, and your understanding develop, as you are more and more able to silence your mind and develop the understanding deeper, then that nature will manifest for you to see, to develop the understanding. Then when it happens, you become different again. Then that time you're sharing will be different again. Okay? Honestly, hopefully this will help you. Now I return to you. You can continue.
I thought a bit on my meditation for daily mindfulness. Recently, I have a few experiences that, there were one day, one of our relatives passed away.
Oh, okay.
So this relative was about 70 over years old, but all this while I have heard about they are quite well to do. They have a very good life. You know, men, when they are not cultivators, they don't have any religion, so they tend to break their third precepts. So very fast. So when the news came in, very fast my mind reacted, I can see.
Oh, okay.
No, they just pass away, very sudden, it's a very sudden pass away. So very fast my mind reacted, karma, you know. So
yeah.
That was the first one, that was the first case. So after that, I reacted, why am I not reacting that way? He is just the way he is, and you know,
that contemplative wisdom should come out.
So I shouldn't have commented, you know, to comment and to arise a thought like that. And moreover, he's our elder, and then you know, he's old elder because he's a. 我们的父辈,
He's
one generation.
Based on our tradition.
So then, and then the next week, another uncle also passed away like that.
Oh, okay.
This one, he passed away not in his house, in one of the, I would say, in another country and in another women's house.
Oh, okay.
So I can see that this thought from the heart area, the thought wants to arise really, but very fast, choop, the thing stopped, just no sound, but the thought just died. It's not died off.
I think I understand what you're trying to explain. Okay. I will maybe add on a bit so that you can develop better understanding. I will off your mind first, honestly.
Okay.
You see, what happened is like your initial sharing on your first uncle that passed away, then you realize you have that thought. That straight away pinpoint, he broke the precept, that's why this thing happened. Then you continue by saying, why you still think like that? So when you say why you still think like that, then it's not wisdom anymore. It's the thought asking that question. It's analysis. That thought is trying to analyze. Based on analysis, why you still think like that? Because you still believe that the thought that arises is you. It's just like anger. Anger is you. Why I still have anger? Not much different from that particular incident. why I still have fear. So these are common habitual thought process, the stirring of the mind that arise during the within existence of most people who don't have the stability of wisdom and understanding yet. So the fallacy and the delusion is still there. But these are habitual tendencies. They have been there for so long, not easy to root out, not easy to straighten. But your second sharing, you say, like, immediately arise, immediately, like, you know, that it's gone. Like you say, chup, gone, but there is no sound inside. But you couldn't explain it. It's not to say it's chup, gone, and no more. Is the stability of wisdom and contemplation still not stable yet? But at least you have improved a bit. Yeah, earlier on you contemplate, why I still think like that? It's just like saying, why I still have anger? Why I still have fear, delusion? So all this is the egoic mind that condition the habitual tendency or reaction. So when you develop the understanding already, you should contemplate and reflect like I used to share with you. How come this habitual tendency continue to surface? Even after a while, when you have some form of understanding that's still not stable yet, it still arises, then you are able to let it off. But the question is, why can't you straighten your view and develop the stability of understanding? Like what you say, he is just the way he is. Then reflect further. Condition like that, things will like that. Then you will finally end up in suchness. Ta-ta-ta. Thing is just the way it is. Nature. Living beings are just the way they are. Nature is just nature. Condition like that, things with their understanding need to be stabilized. So this part is wisdom part. That's why wisdom, when it manifests, the old habitual tendency doesn't arise. Because you straight away can be within the moment and just smile at the situation or develop the equanimity or understanding. Yeah, they are just the way they are. So just let it be. Then no more question, no more why I still think like that, why that thought is still there. So this one take a while, need stability of understanding, need further contemplation until very, very clear. To have the final breakthrough, you need to break through sakyadity, the self-delusion, the egoic mind. That one must break free. He no you, he no mine. He no you, he no me. So the ni wo xiang, that xiang, that entity, that self, the ego, you need to break it. And to break that, you must see the universal characteristic of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Anicchang is first. Then when you see anicchang, you will see dukkang, when you attach and cling, when you hold, when you give meaning. Even earlier on, the habitual tendency come. Even though you pinpoint, he break that precept, that karma. But there is still the egoic mind, the thought, responding to that. Then it will become like a knowledge. An analysis. So a lot of cultivators doesn't understand, they stop that. And they use that to interact and explain to people. Like they have understood the Dhamma cultivation, but it's actually Dhamma knowledge. Because that one has not break free from the egoic mind, the niwo xiang, sakyadity. So to break free is to see the unreality of the five aggregate of form and mind. Their universal characteristic, each and every of the aggregate. That's why you need to have continuous mindfulness, silent your mind, until one day you came to the clear understanding that every phenomenon is like that, not a permanent unchanging entity. Everything is dependent originating, he know you, he know me. That one is not easy. To understand that the form and mind is a form and mind, the nature is the nature, the wisdom that is developed connected to the form and mind is the one that gives rise to the unisoul manasikara and free. That stability must come in. Then only you can turn it into a living reality. Then only that nature can manifest differently. But initially it's good. You go through all this, then you slowly develop the stability or understanding. Then from there, you will develop the progress. Okay, Tansri?
So I wanted to share about my mindfulness, daily mindfulness, yes.
Ah, sadhu.
Yes, daily mindfulness. Mm. So, Raju, I was telling you that last Tuesday, you know, my daily mindfulness, I see things that I never see in my life before.
Yeah. You will go through that.
So it's not something that I plan or I want to. Yeah, it just happens by itself. Naturally it happens, you know.
It's like
very incredible, you know, amazing that how come it can even I mean your thought can never even think this kind of thing can happen. So it's in that sense it's very amazing and incredible, you know.
Correct.
So I was doing this daily mindfulness, right? Because I mean, my brother Theo said mothers are very busy, really, really busy.
The duties
that we do, it's just
a lot of
whole day is busy. Yeah. Sometimes you're wondering what did I do the whole day, you know? And then when times come, I really knock out, brother Theo. And fall asleep, you know. Deadlock like that, you know. So one of these days I was just doing my duties, performing my duties. From morning I wake up, then I just mindfully just do. Then I finish my chores right in the kitchen. Then I say, time to rest, you know. The body needs some rest. I just sit on the sofa, right?
Now it will be very different, yeah.
Yes. I just sit on the sofa and think manifest, you know, brother Theo.
During this phase it will continue to happen.
I sit on the sofa and then brother Theo, how can I describe the mind just know what to look and what to see one.
Develop the ability to understand, and the mind will know how to relax, maintain awareness, and allow that thing to come out. It will not interfere. Like everything is like very natural, no interference from you. You feel so relaxed. When you lie down, you really relax. Like you say, like a deadlock, completely no thought, nothing. The awareness is there. Then that body and mind really rise. Then the awareness is so clear that it will manifest. During that phase, I remember that phase when I went through like what you are going through now. It keep on showing it to you, a lot of things that you never see before. That's why last time during the sharing, I said when your daily mindfulness develop, when you reach that stability, you will see things that you never see before. Like I used to share, before, things were still the same. The world is still the world. Nothing has changed. But how come before my daily mindfulness take off, before the stability of it manifest, I cannot see all those things? Then once it manifest, I start to see things that I never see before. Then later on, when my mundane mind collapse, it's even more amazing. Like the whole of the sky clear, that nature shine for. The cloud, everything gone, the mundane mind all gone. That one is even more amazing and more intact. That one you wait till it happens later, much, much later. But now this phase you go through is very beautiful. And you will continue to see that. You will continue to develop the understanding. Then it becomes very different. This is the phase that is most, I should say, most, most interesting, I use the word, most interesting, because it will keep on manifesting for maybe a few months, then after that, you will stabilize your understanding again. Then during this time, you will contemplate a lot, reflect a lot, and on your own, you start to understand. That's why the Dhamma is Pachetang. Nobody can teach you one. Your nature manifests, and through the direct seeing, the awakening, the manifestation of that stability of mindfulness, it allows you to understand insight into phenomena, develop all those understanding. All this, they manifest on their own. And it's like very natural, without effort, it just happens. Then things that need to unfold will unfold. Then everything is Dhamma, you start to understand. That life itself is your greatest teacher. You can learn a lot from life, from existence, from the phenomenal world. So all this, they will start to manifest. And this is one of the most interesting and beautiful things. So keep it up, sadhu to you.
Sadhu. So, coming back to this observation, it just manifest out for me to see.
Yeah.
Right? So I was just sitting on the sofa, right? So
yeah.
My hand, that I sense the pulsation on.
And
you know the inner elbow.
There's
this pulse there, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you can feel
so
that.
So it's just pulsing, right?
Rise and cease.
So somehow my mind, have to go and see, you know, Bharatiya, It automatically tell you naturally you must go and see it.
You will know what you will zoom in on.
You zoom in.
It's like then the X-ray eye like that go in on.
So it makes fight for me, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. What is this? For me, I wasn't even like doing meditation, you know, brother.
Yeah.
I just sit on the sofa and then this thing happens.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And sometimes you just realize down there that it manifests. You can see your whole body is full of vibration.
Yes.
Everything is in a state of flux pulsating. Some in harmony and other things. It has its own rhythm and other things. And they are so beautiful and it keeps on unfolding, manifesting. That's why the normal people who do thought-based meditation, they can never experience all this happening. They can never come to develop such understanding. But this one is the power of mindfulness, power of the awareness nature that can manifest all these things. That thought cannot manifest. Yeah, this is all beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why the cultivation is so different. Manifestation is so different. Very good, Sathya. You continue.
So I thought that was the end, but actually it continues.
Yeah, still a lot more things. Yeah.
It continues. Then the skin, how should I say, become alive, you know, Bradio.
Yeah. You can see and you can feel.
Yes, you see. Actually, not just feel. Now, I mean, previously I feel only. Now I can even see the skin become alive. You know. Right?
Whatever. You see very clearly.
So you see, and it's so beautiful. You know that. I don't know whether it's called beautiful or not, but it's really incredible and
it's really
magnificent. Nature. See things that you never see before.
You are like a witness. You just witness the thing unfolding. It's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yes.
Even the pixel on the color TV last night when my mind was silent completely in that awareness. I was sitting in the lounge area where I watch my TV. The seti area where you watch your TV. Living room. The word is living room. I was completely silent, 1989, I remember. Yeah, I saw the whole thing move so fast, though, but the awareness, the mindfulness is really, you know, then it's like, I want to know, I can know. I don't want to know, no need to know. It just manifests. And it's so beautiful, so amazing. Like everything is moving at such speed, but you are fully aware. That's why I say the movement of the fan, that speed is nothing. Compared to the pixel on the TV, it's like the speed of light is so fast, changing. But the mindfulness is really, it flows with it. It's aware. That is seeing, unfolding, the color, the brightness, and all those things. So beautiful. Where you are just witnessing the nature, witnessing. And the whole thing. And yours on this one, where you went into the elbow, then you see the skin, then the internal of your body, you also see that. That's why these are the power of the mind that has gone into that silent, the awareness nature. It has that ability, and this samadhi power is the byproduct that manifests when you go through all this, and it allows you to see things that normal people cannot see, cannot understand. But more important is when you see and witness, you understand creation, you understand life, you understand the universal characteristic much, much deeper. Especially when I saw the pixel and the movement, I saw dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomenon, that universal characteristics of impermanent, that change, that manifestation so fast, so swift, and yet my mindfulness of the, then I know everything is just changing, evolving, moving in a state of flux, continuous, unending. Then that nature inside, that deep understanding like exploded, like it become very clear, and it showed it to you until it is like, oh, no wonder living being cannot understand, where they can't penetrate, they cannot be in such state of awareness to witness and to see. That's why this is direct seeing things as they are without words, pure silent witnessing. And to go through this phase, you need to have very stable daily mindfulness, and you have to be able to be in that state in the midst of life. Then when you rest, when you walk, when you do anything, everything is so clear to you. Your mind are so different. It's like people cannot understand the way you describe, unless they are cultivated, they completely cannot understand you. That's why sometimes I don't want to say anything, because not until people have reached that state of cultivation, or sometimes I just hinted a little bit here and there, hear certain words that is like coined by my nature to describe them. Unless the cultivator of the way reach those stages of cultivation, they cannot really comprehend or understand. But some of them have developed some form of progress. They will be able to know that this is possible, and this is something very beautiful, very amazing. And when it happens, it really is amazing. So sadhu to you, Pocheng. Very good.
Sadhu. Yes. Brother, that is precisely, you know, what I see, the movement of things that is keep changing, you know, that
the manifestation of the characteristic, universal characteristics are impermanent, but it's so beautiful in accordance with what is being manifested and shown to you. And this is nature's movement. All these are very, very lively on and very clear and colorful and very clear on
Yeah, everything is so clear, and it's in slow motion for you.
Yeah, slow motion, very fast for you.
Yes.
And it's like alive, down there, alive, so alive.
Yes, very alive, you know, it's the flow of the movement, I mean, this is not what you would, I mean, imagine of a skin.
Nothing to do with that. It's not the normal thought consciousness. This one is the pure awareness. The pure seeing, the direct seeing. That's like the unfolding of all these things is so beautiful. And the nature just witness, and yet it understand the beauty. That is the power of mindfulness, the power of awareness, the beauty and the wonder of cultivation. That's why all these are very amazing. People can never understand unless they go through. Sadhu, very good.
Yes, sadhu. So it was like, wow, so amazing. Like you're watching some kind of a very high technology slow motion movie.
Very super high definition. They call it HD.
Yes.
High definition type of manifestation of that video thing.
So I don't think microscope can do that also.
Well, ours is from that nature, the direct seeing one. This one need very high, we call it resolution, high definition type, for your sense organ to see. But ours is the pure mind, the silent mind, that witness. That one, you see everything on, everything that manifests on. That's why it's the mindfulness and the awareness together with the phenomenal one, the whole thing. Whereas the normal people see with the mundane mind one, with the thinking mind, the thought consciousness one, they think a lot on. They sometimes, if it's a horror film or fearful, then they feel the horror and all those things. Then if sometimes it's the fighting one, or they get excited and they got drawn in. That one is not seeing anymore. That one is the thought process, very busy, very like drawn into it, like sucked into it. But this one is witnessing. From external witnessing, and everything unfolds is so beautiful, and it's just the way it is. It doesn't get distorted and all those things. Then the memory, you realize your memory doesn't come in and interfere with your light and this light and other views. Okay, it doesn't come into it. It's like you are witnessing and observing to learn, and everything is like so pristine, so new, so beautiful, so amazing, and there is so much to understand and learn. So, it is so amazingly different from the traditional, the conventional thought based on. That's why when I went through all those things, I tell myself, how can people understand this type of cultivation, this type of manifestation? I used to use this analogy. I said, you think fairy tale, a lot of things that I share fairy tale. Sometimes when you really go through it, it's more fantastic than even the wildest fairy tale that you can think of. It's more amazing than fairy tale, because the thing that happened is really amazing. It's beyond people's wildest dream. And it is just the way it is. Nature, that true nature. That stability of the awareness nature, that silence within, and that one is so beautiful. And that area of meditation or exploration of understanding is very new. Very few people can go into it and do that type of meditation. That's why it is still a very new field as far as the world is concerned. Very few people have the ability to develop such understanding. Sadhu, amazingly, you were able to do it. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu. I follow exactly your teaching your guides,
you know. The nature, you cannot do all this. All this can only happen after people has detected the gateway and connect and develop the stability of awareness nature, the silent mind. And not long, I believe, maybe your mundane mind will start to slowly collapse already. But you must reach the stability of wisdom and understanding until very stable, then your vibration transform. Then when your vibration transform, it becomes so fine, then it will trigger off the collapse of the mundane mind, because that nature's vibration, when it has become very, very fine because of the wisdom and the understanding, that all this mundane mind that is very gross, they cannot withstand that type of vibration. then they start to go through the process of collapsing. The process of collapsing takes a while, I remember. It takes about 9 months all in for it to completely collapse. But when it started, that time, I knew stages, it happened. It's somewhere around the forehead. Then things start to happen. Very good. You continue.
So very interesting. But anyway, Brother Teo, what you described and said is precisely unfolding in a natural way, you know, that
right.
Then you are just witnessing your mundane mind, your thought don't interfere at all.
It's just that nature in complete silence, witnessing.
Yes.
So full of understanding and joy. And when it happens, your nature will know, because like the Buddha said, this is Pachetang, can be realized only by the wise, each for themselves. When nobody else can witness this and understand it, only the one with wisdom that has the ability to stabilize awareness nature until that level of understanding. Then only it manifests and unfold. Otherwise, it cannot unfold. That's why the Dhamma is Pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So that part, the salutation to the Dhamma. This Dhamma is Pachetang, Veditapo, Venohiti. Very, very amazing and beautiful. That's why it's called the wonderful Dhamma.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Teo. Without your teaching and guidance, the journey will be much longer.
Your understanding and journey very much faster. You go back and listen to today's sharing again.
Yes.
It will help you a lot. And you will develop much, much more faster and deeper understanding very fast.
Just now
you can understand all this already.
Thank you, Brother Teo.
Very interesting, and I very rejoice with Sister Po Cheng's progress. So it's really, really amazing.
Yeah, it's supposed to give faith to all other Kayamita. If she can do it, I think everybody has equal chance to do it, because she was new. Initially, she was very new, like most of you all. He doesn't know anything come with a clean slate, but because she has faith and she really determined to go all out and follow instruction, simple and clear instruction, and just do. Then when you follow instruction and do, you do the contemplation on that, the urgency of cultivation, then the daily religious routine, the mindfulness, then he followed the 5 daily contemplation. Then at the same time, he did the Bodhisattva vow and all those things, the daily religious routine. So all this actually transformed her. Then meant to be, the pandemic come in, we go through the Hasutta again. Then we completed it in 8 months. The 8 months, he learned so much, like a refreshing course. The retreat, 8 day, 9 day, maybe very harsh to her. But now that 8, 9 days has been broken down to 8, 9 months, which was so beautiful to her, and she can understand. Then she moved in and cultivate accordingly. That's how she developed the ability to progress and see how cultivation can really manifest when you do it correctly. And so far, she is one of the ones that are able to follow instructions clearly. And able to do it so well, and the fastest to progress until such such progress, I should say, not easy.
Once progress.
Yeah, very advanced and not easy. Normal people cannot do one. Even cultivator who has done many, many decades of cultivation also cannot reach this level. Is there anything else you want to share about today's sharing and the Dhamma that we discussed? The part on Dhyan, Samadhi and Prajna.
Actually, I Maybe I just report a bit of my meditation.
Okay, yes.
After so many months, my meditation, I still sometimes at times that I can still very easily doze off, you know.
Never mind. Literally let it doze off. You need to rest, you rest. Maybe you are tired or what, you rest.
Yeah, maybe normally.
Awareness. Starting, you must maintain awareness, then let it doze off. Initially, it's like that. Then later on, your awareness will be there. It will be developed slowly, slowly, slowly. Then you realize that when you are resting, you can be aware. So initially, when it doze off, let it doze off, you need the rest. Then after that, when you, the first moment of awareness come back, or you become conscious again, then you maintain the awareness. And during that time, it's much easier. Then the mind that come back after a good rest or a good sleep, deep sleep, is a different mind. Then that one come out from your nature, awareness nature. You become conscious again. Then you maintain awareness. Then you will not become heedless. You will not go into the thinking mode, like just now I described in the early part of the sharing. How the mind is in the state of frivolous, heedless thinking. It think a lot, it chatter a lot, it verbalize a lot. It has all the emotion, the mood. Then it is very talkative. Then it chatter a lot. Then very capable and all. It means that mind is not in samadhi. Not in samadhi. It's not mindful, not heedful, not aware. So your training is to train that mind to reverse the heedless thinking, to stabilize into an awareness nature that is more and more stable. So just do that. Don't worry about progress. Most important is train your mind to be aware first, then the daily mindfulness, the daily religious routine, then you have the Bodhisattva vow with you, determine, take the vow, and continue to do it over a period of time. Your progress will manifest or arise. It will happen, but you must have the faith.
Yeah, although I snore, but I know how many times
it's
that
okay.
I snore throughout the
snore, it's okay, but maintain awareness. Whenever it comes back, maintain awareness. That throughout the day, aware, mindful. It's not just when you meditate. It's whatever you do in life, going to office, in the office, at home, whatever. Maintain mindfulness, awareness. The daily mindfulness is very important. Okay,
Sadhu,
Sadhu, remember this, the rest also same, Karamita. You really want to see the progress, your daily religious routine, your mindfulness, you must develop them. Because Bojang has given you all the proof, the faith, the diligence, then you work on the mindfulness, then all this can manifest. So hopefully, it can give you the faith, the confidence, and the motivation to go all out, to cultivate all this. And these are beautiful sharing. So let us now rejoice. Thank you so much. We should thank Sister Po Cheng, Elsie, and also Mama Suri, and my daughter Suri for the good sharing today. So we rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.